You're with Stateside. I'm April Baer. April is Poetry Month, and if you hadn't figured it out by now, we kind of like poets around here. Tong Lian is a young poet from East Kentwood High School. He's a senior and recently won the Alliance for Young Artists and Writers Gold Key Award for poetry. Beyond his writing, Tong is an active member of his community and raising awareness and funds for refugees and immigrants. Tong Lian, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
How'd you get into writing poetry?
So I got into writing poetry as a form of expression. As a refugee, I've always wanted to express my story. I've always wanted to tell my story my way. And poetry was one of the ways, the avenues that allowed me to tell my story in a way that was unapologetic, in a way that really allowed me to express my raw emotions about what I felt when I left home and what it means to be able to acclimate into a community such as Kentwood.
Poetry is such a specific discipline and so intentional in its use of language. Why did that appeal to you rather than, say, essays or fiction?
Poetry appealed to me, like you said, because of the specificity. I believe that poetry is a powerful form of storytelling, and I really wanted to encompass and encapture my raw emotions in as little words as possible, so that when people are taking it in, and when people are reading my stories, they are able to relate to it and they are able to really, really dissect the words and the story. And poetry, especially free verse, allowed me to do that in such a quintessential way.
Would you read for us?
Yeah, definitely. So I wanted to read a little bit of Just As Bitter, Just As Sweet. And this is about my emotions and what I felt when I was told that I would be leaving home. So this is Just As Bitter, Just As Sweet.
We should say, just to set this up, I believe your family left Myanmar when you were 5, right?
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is when I first learned that I was going to leave Myanmar. So this is entitled Just As Bitter, Just As Sweet.
Mother latches herself tightly, her arms suffocating. In the distance, summer cicadas hum a midnight's tune, keeping me awake. The night prior, Dad phoned us and told us we would go to somewhere where life doesn't have to end when you've barely begun to grow, to somewhere where the streets are paved in gold and the cities like diamonds glow. Son, Mother beamed at me, a smile stitched from cheek to cheek. We're going to America, the land of the free. I was 5 years old. I didn't understand a thing, but there was one thing I knew. America meant leaving home. America, I whisper, barely audible under my breath. Would Grandma come with us? What about Auntie, Uncle, and my favorite cousins? My cousins who let me win tag even though I tripped over my sandals. My grandma who cuddled with me at night, promising me sugary sweets and savory meats. What about them? Where would they go? Mother sensed my apprehension, huffing and puffing up like a balloon. She smiled reassuringly, telling me not to worry. But I worry anyway. How can America be so great if nobody I love is there? As sleep gnaws away at my thoughts, I try not to drown in what I know is inevitable. My loved ones are not going. Before dawn could creep through the valley, before the sun could frighten the moon away, I hear the low rumbling footsteps of Grandma. I hear the raspy, early morning voices of my cousins rippling through the cool morning breeze. I hear family. To my side, I turn, trying desperately to glue my eyes shut. But sleep does not come to visit, not today. Grandma peers her head through my bedroom door, smiling like a sage. Her smile is bittersweet, tinged with melancholy. I know this kind of smile. I last saw it at Grandpa's funeral, when Grandma had to be strong like an unyielding oak, standing as firm as the oldest, wisest tree, for she is the root of our family. Her smile then was bittersweet. Her smile now is just as bitter, just as sweet. My son, she croons, coming to greet me. Breakfast is ready. Go wash up. My son, today is the big day. You're off to America. Silence roars in the room. Nobody says anything more. Nobody has to. America means leaving family. America means leaving home.
My guest is Tong Lian. He's a senior at East Kentwood High School, and that poem is called Just As Bitter, Just As Sweet. I feel like I should point out, there's a reference in the poem to your dad's phone call. Mm-hmm. You didn't meet your father until you left Myanmar, right?
No, I did not. So my father actually went to Malaysia in hopes that he would accrue enough money for him to allow us to come to Malaysia with him later on. And so he came to Malaysia before I was born. And so I never met him until I was about 5.5, 6 years old.
You know, there's so much in there. A lot of people who've had to emigrate at a young age, you mm-hmm. know, may or may not remember. I'm not sure if it's because this is only like 13 years in your past that you're able to capture so much detail. But we really get a sense that you were aware of the stakes, even as a five-year-old.
Yeah, definitely. Back in Myanmar, you didn't have opportunity. Opportunity was not given to you. Education, even starting at around kindergarten until 10th grade, which is the highest grade that you can finish, there wasn't any opportunity. And so life, like I said in my poem, life really didn't have anything to offer you aside from maybe carpentry or farm work. And even then, it was hard labor. And so I knew that our family was poor. I knew that the reason why we were leaving home was so that we could achieve something greater, so that we could be able to dream bigger.
It seems like you were destined to have your work intertwined with politics, or at least a political dimension, mm-hmm. because of the circumstances through which your family moved. Which would you say came first, your sense of yourself as a writer, or your sense of wanting to have something to say about politics, and maybe even play a role in helping people understand politics?
I would say that my sense of writing came first. Writing to me has always been a form of expression, and it has allowed me to develop my political viewpoints as a writer. Because when I write to express myself, I write to tell my story, and I believe that my story is very, very important. Because as a refugee, as an immigrant, hailing from the most diverse high school in all of Michigan, I believe that I have a duty to empower others. Because for a lot of refugees and immigrants, there's a sense of shame that comes with being a refugee, a sense of being different, a sense of maybe I can't achieve what I want to achieve because of my refugee label. And I want people to understand that simply because you're a refugee, simply because you're an immigrant, that should not be an obstacle towards your success. Because you are a refugee, it is a blessing because it has given you, life has given you opportunities to grow a thicker skin. Life has given you opportunities to be able to develop a sense of yourself, to be able to develop a sense of purpose. And I believe that that is a blessing and not a curse. And so I want all other refugees and immigrants to understand that they are not alone. There are millions of people out there who share their story and who are willing to share their stories. And so I want to empower them to share their own story so that they can stand as a true testament to the power of human resiliency, which is what the story of all refugees are.
Can you tell us about some inspirations that kind of helped you get started, whether that was specific poets or maybe forms that were useful to you in thinking in learning how to do this?
My inspiration actually came from my teachers. My teacher, Amanda Tallis, who currently teaches at Discovery Elementary. I was there when she taught me at Medellin Elementary in second grade. She actually gave me the inspiration to write because I used to be very ashamed of being a refugee, like I talked about earlier. I used to be very, very ashamed because I felt different from my classmates and I did not want them to know that I was a refugee. However, when she introduced me to the power of words, to the power of expression, she really allowed me to be able to express myself through writing. And that was also one of my main forms of coping with the trauma that was dealt upon me because of my refugeeism. And so she is one of my biggest inspirations. And also my parents, they always tell me not to be embarrassed, not to be ashamed of who I am. And through writing, that has really allowed me to blossom and allowed me to create a connection with my past that for so long I tried to stray away from. And so I would say that my parents and my teachers have always been there to guide me and have served as inspiration. And as for specific poets, Maya Angelou, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, that remains one of my most favorite books of all time. And also Tanha Lai, she wrote a book called Inside Out and Back Again. And it's about a Vietnamese girl who escaped the Vietnam War and came to America. And she realized, although America is great, there's a lot of undercurrents of racism. There's a lot of undercurrents of xenophobia, and she had to deal with that. And her coming of age story really inspired me. And her story was also, in a sense, a reflection of my own. And I realized that there is so much power. There is so much release in being able to tell your story, in not being ashamed of who you are and your roots. And that has really allowed me to be empowered and to share my story through poetry.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Grand Rapids area poet Tang Lian. He recently won the Alliance for Young Artists and Writers Gold Key Award for poetry. He's a senior at East Kentwood High School. When you talk about the fact that you didn't want people to know that your family had had to leave, can you say a bit more about that? I mean, did you feel different even than maybe other Asian American kids that you knew at school?
Definitely. And so in the community wasn't racist or the community wasn't xenophobic, but I myself, I felt ashamed because of my refugeeism. I thought that it would hold me back. I thought that it was an obstacle. And it took me a very long time to be able to come to terms with me being a refugee. And I think that has a lot to do with the people that I surrounded myself with, my friends who are also Asian Americans, and obviously my teachers who were always there to support me. And I think that for almost every refugee kid, there's always a little sense of differentness, of being different from the others, because we understand where we come from. We understand our origins, and they may serve as blockades, and they may serve as a source of shame. And I think that it wasn't so much feeling different. It wasn't so much feeling alienated from my Asian American community. It was more so because I didn't really understand what it meant to be a refugee at the time. And I thought that was very shameful to leave my home, to go to a different home. But obviously, as I've grown, I've learned to nurture and love that part of me.
Is there such a thing as coming out as someone whose family left their country, coming out as a refugee?
I think that for everyone, they deal with being a refugee differently. And I think that for me, it wasn't so much a coming out, but it was more so about tapping into my history and going back to understand why we left home, to understand the circumstances, and to understand that other people also have that story. For me, it wasn't really coming out, but as I said before, going back and learning about why I left home.
What have your parents told you about what their lives were like and how they made this decision, which is obviously a huge one?
Mm-hmm. Myanmar, as you might have heard, is currently undergoing a coup. The Tadmoro, or the Myanmar military, staged a coup, and they took power away from the democratically elected government, the National League for Democracy. And since then, nearly 500 people, civilians, innocent lives have been lost, some as young as 5 years old. There was a video recently that went viral, and it was of a young boy who was around 5 to 6 years old. He was in a taxi riding with his dad, and suddenly he hears a gunshot, and the dad looks down and starts screaming, and he says, "My son is dead. My son is gone." And that boy was just 5 years old. And that story is universal for a lot of Burmese people in Myanmar. My parents underwent the 1988 coup, the 1988 uprising, which bears a lot of resemblances to the current coup that is happening right now. And that was why they left Myanmar. That was why they had the courage and the bravery to be able to uproot their entire family so that they could leave Myanmar and seek better opportunities. Because you never know in Myanmar what the military is going to do. I'm actually part of an ethnic minority in Myanmar called the Chin people. And even more so than the Bama, which are the ethnic majority, the Chin people, the Karen, the Kachin, they face a lot of persecution, be it religious persecution, especially for the Rohingya. Millions of Rohingya people have already died. Millions have fled Myanmar. The Chin people are under the constant and consistent threat of religious persecution. There is a lot of political turmoil in Myanmar, and there is not a lot of future for a lot of these ethnic minorities and even for the Bama majority. And that was why we left. And that was why they had the courage and the bravery to be able to leave home.
Do your parents have writing lives themselves or reading lives?
Back in Myanmar, education, the highest level of public education you could say that one could achieve is 10th grade. And my parents never graduated high school. My mom did, but she had to sacrifice a lot of her educational career so that she could take care of her family. And that is the case for many, many people in Myanmar. They sacrificed their education so that they could take care of their families. And so both my mom and dad do not have writing lives. They read sometimes, but because of their lack of education, they don't have the time because of their jobs also to be able to read and write. And so I see this writing now as a privilege. I see how important it is because for many of the people in Myanmar, their voices have been silenced, their liberties have been strained, and their freedoms have been pillaged and raped. And so for me, writing and self-expression is a privilege and one that I believe that I should be able to use to promote the freedoms and liberties of those who do not have them.
Have you translated any of your own work so your parents can read it?
I have not. I've thought about it, but currently I'm in the process of learning how to write and read proficiently in my language. And also, as for poetry, I translate it for them sometimes, not all the time, but I try to, just for my parents.
You know, as you mentioned, Myanmar is going through yet another catastrophic leadership transition with the coup. And the democratically elected leadership, including Aung San Suu Kyi, have been basically removed and the military is in control. This is a situation where we know poets have been targeted. At least nine that I was able to read about are among the people who've been detained for political reasons. Do you think much about the role that poets play in society there or here?
All writers, especially poets, I think, play a huge and immense role because they are the ones that are going to express the views, the emotions, the trauma of the people. And more often than not, poets from third world countries, poets who hail from places such as Myanmar, their poetry is politically tinged. Their poetry is full of political activism. And I think, and I know that was one of the reasons why they were targeted. And so, yes, indeed, they play a huge, huge role for the people because they give voice to the people when they need it most.
Tong, I know that you're a senior in high school this year. And I also know that it's very hard to make plans in the middle of a pandemic, but can you tell us anything about your plans going forward?
Yeah, definitely. My plans going forward is to continue my position as communications director at the Chin Leaders of Tomorrow. We are a Chin-led organization that aims to amplify the voices of other Chin leaders in the United States of America, and to also help amplify the voices of those on the grounds in Myanmar.
Could you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the group?
Yeah, definitely. So I got involved with the group this year, back in February, and it was very much spontaneous. I was friends with the executive director, Sloan Sloan, who is hopefully going to be attending Stanford University later this fall. And she talked to me about this organization, which aims to collectively bring Chin leaders together in hopes of creating a more vibrant community in hopes of amplifying the voices of BIPOC communities. And I thought, wow, it's one of my biggest passions is to raise awareness and to amplify voices of BIPOC communities. So why not? And so I joined the organization and we started our work with a campaign called The Voices of Myanmar. And we held several Zoom protests. We wrote campaign letters to House representatives asking them to co-sign a resolution that would take action in Myanmar, that would demand the United States take action in Myanmar. And so our work has been liberating in a sense that it has allowed me to do something for my country, apart from raising awareness through my words and poetry. And so with the Chin Leaders of Tomorrow, we also created a a mutual aid fund for Myanmar, and you can actually access that mutual aid fund through our website, chinleaders.org. And so far we've raised $8,000, and we hope to raise even more for the people in Myanmar, because many of them are participating in what is known as the civil disobedience movement. And it is essentially millions of Myanmar citizens, civilians, stepping down from their jobs because they do not want to work under the military junta. And so because they have stepped down from their positions and their jobs, they need money because they don't have a paying job. And so I believe that the greatest form of aid or help that the international community can give is through fundraising, and it is through giving money to the people in Myanmar who need it most, the millions of people who are currently unemployed because of the military. And so that is what we have been doing through the Mutual Aid Fund. And I would love it for everyone in any capacity to be able to donate so that we can help those in Myanmar who are suffering.
We're in this period where Asian Americans have been the target of, you know, physical violence, as well as a great deal of harassment. And I've got to believe that, given how much you've thought about society and how it's treating people right now, that this may be something that you've been dealing with. Are there ways that you've been trying to bend your activism toward the visibility of Asian Americans and just where people stand in this vulnerable position right now?
Definitely. So I am currently serving as the president of the Asian Student Union, which is an organization at East Kenwood High School, and it boasts nearly 100 members who are Asian Americans. And so I see this current rise in Asian American hatred as something that is very, very personal as an Asian American myself. And so I simply wanted to say that sometimes words are not enough to express the pain and the trauma that a community feels. And when words can do no justice in expressing our pain and trauma, it is our community that we turn to. And I really, really want to emphasize and underscore the importance of community. Because when words are not enough, we turn to our community for support, for guidance, and for love. And so our community plays a huge role, especially in Kentwood, where many, many of our community members are refugees, immigrants, Asian Americans. And so I want to urge everyone to stand in solidarity with Asian American communities, to stand not only in solidarity, but to take action by checking up on your friends who are Asian, who are Asian American, who are Pacific Islanders, checking up on them to make sure that they are okay and that they are coping well. And for the community to simply take a stance against the xenophobia, against this racism that is happening to our Asian communities.
Tong Leon is a poet and student at East Kentwood High School near Grand Rapids. He recently won the Alliance for Young Artists and Writers Gold Key Award for Poetry. Tong, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.